Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 160 for Friday, November 8, 2013. Welcome to the show. This is our third podcast in a week, by the way. It really has not been that long since we last got back together. If it's your first time, welcome. I am Phil Nickinson, editor of AndroidCentral.com, and we do this, I don't know, once a week, three times a week, whatever. It depends on what's going on. We do it live, actually. So if you're watching us live right now, awesome. If you're only listening, that's cool, too. We have with us this week, from the site, Jerry Hildenbrand.
Howdy, everyone.
In Seattle, we've got Andrew Martinick, who is not wearing his Google Glass like he was commanded to.
It's over here in a little bag.
Unbag them. Put them on.
Yeah. Well, what's it doing in a little bag?
It's a really, really nice handcrafted bag made out of reusable materials, I'm told.
And in England, we have Alex Doby.
Hey, everyone.
You don't sound tired at all.
No?
Has it been kind of a long week?
It's been a long couple of weeks.
Uh-oh, I hear myself. I must have a song somewhere.
Ugh! Imagine that.
Stop it. Where is it? I don't know where it is. I can't find it. I can stop. Oh, there it is. Found it. It's on a Google Plus page. Too many things with my face on it. That's not good for anybody. So, what's going on, guys? Anybody played with any good phones lately?
No, no phones come out.
I'm borrowing a G2 again from a friend.
Yeah, how's that going for you?
Nice damn phone. I can't understand why it didn't fly off the shelves.
It really, man, I mean, how long have we been saying that about, like, mainstream LG phones?
Yep.
Do you think there are going to be more G2s sold worldwide than there are Nexus 5s?
Probably, but not
the G2's got wider reach than the Nexus 5.
Right, I can walk into the store and buy a G2 from a carrier.
Well, you can do that today with an Nexus 5.
A real carrier.
In the US and Canada.
Okay, so, yeah, we're going to talk some more Nexus 5 this week. Sorry, we can't help it. We have to. You know, we don't really have any new phones anyway, so I do, actually. I got a new toy today. You want to see it?
I just want to see if it'll blend.
Amazon had a little whoopsie this week, and they had a whole bunch of, apparently, Android phones as well, a whole bunch of phones up for $200, and I ordered a Lumia 1020. I'd been wanting one anyway to try, and I mean, I've used it before, but like wanted one to have around, and it's been a while since I've used Windows Phone anyway, and the camera on this thing. So like Dan Rubino from WP Central was like, guys, go get one. They're $200. I'm like, hell yeah. Out of everybody, like all the editors were sitting in chat talking. And, I think I was the only one whose order didn't get canceled, which is awesome for me, I guess. Jerry, you had something canceled too, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually ordered a G2 because playing with this one got me happy and they canceled it.
That sucks. Well, I'm stoked. Bought a couple other phones, too, but I'll save those for a surprise for another time. So, yeah, we're going to talk some more Nexus 5 now that we've all had it for a week. I guess most of us got it on Monday.
Ish.
Yeah, ish. We're going to talk some more KitKat now that we've had some real quality time with that and see where we stand and where we think it's going to go. And then we've got a few things that are not KitKat. And as we've been doing, we're going to take some more questions out of the Q&A. We got the live Q&A going in the Google. And I'm not sure. Do we call the Q&A part of the Hangout or part of the event? I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. Anyway, that's working awesome. So we'll take some more of those. We got some email questions we will do as well. And we're not going to go for an hour and a half this week, I promise. So, because my little kid's got a soccer game at 5. So let's get to it. Nexus 5. Let's just go around real quick. And Alex, give me like 30 seconds on where you stand on this guy now.
Yeah, similar thoughts to last week, really. Yeah, great phone, great performance. The camera is not necessarily, I don't think it's any worse than I thought it was last week, but it's weird in ways that other cameras aren't. You can get very good shots with it if you frame it just right and you wait and you know, you have a very steady hand. I think the valid criticism of it is that it's just kind of slow in focusing. It's going to depend on how you want to use it. You can get very, very great looking shots on this, especially with HDR+. Battery life, it's been kind of stabilizing for me, I think. I don't know whether it needed maybe a few days to sort of get settled in. But certainly compared to where I was over the weekend, where it was, you know, not so great compared to other recent phones, it's been, I've been getting on a normal day around 15, 16 hours out of it, which is about where, what I was getting out of the HTC One. So I'm more happy with battery life than I was last week.
What about you, Andrew? Where are you at?
I've gotten to poke around with the camera a little bit more, and I think I can mirror most of what Alex is saying. The HDR Plus mode is pretty much where you're going to want to stay if you want the best of what this camera can offer, because unfortunately the auto mode it's not quick enough to make the auto mode worthwhile, so you might as well wait that extra, you know, fraction of a second, switch to HDR Plus mode and take a, you know, hold your hand steady and take a really good picture. And when you do that, you're getting like really like top of the line pictures. And I don't know what kind of crazy voodoo they're doing in the background for that. It like seems to pretty much load a different camera app of some sort, like, or some a different siloed portion of the camera to like, that's like amazing, where the rest of it's just kind of meh. So I don't know. The camera's really good. My battery life hasn't really stabilized, I wouldn't say. I've been trying it on AT&T and T-Mobile to kind of, you know, see how the network balances out. But I would say 14, 15 hours is probably about where I'm at. And that's maybe 10, 15% better than what I got on the Nexus 4. The Nexus 4, you know, eventually just didn't really do very well in terms of battery life for me. But, you know, everybody's different. All I can do is compare it to other phones. It didn't do as well as the Moto X by any stretch of the imagination, not anywhere near the G2 in terms of battery, but it's the battery life's okay. The camera is above average. Everything else, I don't have any more advanced thoughts on it than I did earlier in the week, actually.
Jerry?
It's a great update from the Nexus 4. It's exactly what you would have wanted a Nexus to be. It's bigger. Without being bigger, a bigger screen. It's faster. I'm digging the way it's built. I like that Nexus 7 feel of it. Battery life sucks on this thing for me, guys. It's no better than the Nexus 4. Now, 18 months ago, that was acceptable battery life.
That's what I was thinking. Thinking last night, because it's very much feeling like the HTC One to me, and that was all of, like, what, 6-8 months ago?
Yeah, if I forget to charge my Moto X tonight, it'll be fine for tomorrow most of the day. The Nexus 5, I'm afraid to say the same for it. I don't think I could baby it through 2 days. And you know, I know there's trade-offs everywhere, and they didn't want to put a bigger battery in it, and instead of putting, you know, optimizations to save battery like Motorola did, they chose to go another direction. I get it. I'm just a little disappointed in the battery life. The camera, I'm fine with it. It's, if you want perfect pictures, use a camera. If you want pictures that look good on Google Plus or on Facebook and you can just pull your phone out and take a picture, Nexus 5 takes great pictures for that. I'm not expecting, you know, pictures to show up in Vogue magazine shot with the Nexus 5, so I'm okay. KitKat itself, a little early yet. I haven't seen any big glaring bugs. It does seem to be a little bit faster. Seems to do less in the background, which was one of their promises, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That'll help the battery. But I need another week. I need one more week.
No, you're supposed to make up your mind after 48 hours and no more.
Well, no, my mind is made up. I like this phone. I'm glad that I have this phone. I will keep this phone, and I'll keep a SIM card in it. I'll use this phone. But it's not my go-to, and I don't think it ever will be. And that's crazy.
That's what I was trying to decide over the past few days, because especially with battery life, it's taken a while to stabilize for me, I think. And a lot of other people have been saying that. Throughout something on Twitter last night, a lot of other people are having the same experience where it takes a few days to actually get to the situation after a few recharges where actually you can get a good 15, 16 hours out of it. Maybe that's part of that psychological, who knows, I don't know. But I don't know, I think you're probably right that it's never going to match something like the Moto X. You're certainly not going to get 2 days out of it unless you're giving it very, very minor use.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd be interesting to see where you guys are in another week, whether battery life has changed any for you.
That's right. You have like 4 days longer than any of us with the Nexus 5. So like,
I got
you're
it
like our guru. 7 days
ago, yeah. I got it Friday last week.
I don't disagree with anything any of you guys said. I have a question, though. After using this phone for a week, what the hell does Nexus mean now? I don't think there's ever been one definition of what a Nexus phone is from year to year. Like, I think it changes every year. So using this phone now, what about this phone makes it a quote, an air quote, Nexus device? Is it better? Is it opening? I mean, yeah, you got the unlocked bootloader thing, and that's fine. And not unimportant, but is that what makes a Nexus phone a Nexus net? Like, what is so Nexus-y about this?
There's not. That makes it better. There's never been just one thing. I think nowadays it's more of an overlap of a few different things. You have the unlocked bootloader, you have the latest and greatest specs at a lower price, and you have new versions of Android First. And those three things have always kind of been there.
And but absolutely, those are,
that's kind of the overlap you get now. There's no real one thing, whereas, of course, it's a developer device as well, but that's it's been a long time since that was the main focus of Nexus.
Absolutely not to discount the pricing, because that's super important, right? I think we're all going to be saying, this is the best phone you can get for that money, for you know, $350 or $400, in the States anyway. But, I mean, just using it, I'm waiting for something special, and I don't get that feeling with this. And that's part of me wants to say that's not fair because it's a Nexus, damn it. It's supposed to be I mean, there's supposed to be something awesome about it. I love the hell out of KitKat. I think it's great. You know, I could use the launcher for my stock launcher if I wanted to. I don't think I will. We'll see. But I think what Motorola has done with Google now with the Moto X is better. It's a better implementation than what we have here. I think, you know, in some of it's habit, but I keep picking it up and flicking it to try to activate the camera. You know, just little things like that. And then there's the battery life, which it's apples and oranges because we're talking different devices. But those optimizations make a big difference. Mm-hmm. And while those optimizations like that probably won't be found in a Nexus device just because of the way it works, there's just something about it. I mean, I don't know. And I have the white one, which, by the way, the black one feels so much better. I've got the black one, too, and I'll have to send it back, unfortunately. But the black feels so much cooler than the white. I mean, there's just... Okay, it's got a better camera. Which, again, not unimportant. And I would, you know, welcome that in a heartbeat. But... Is the camera the only thing that's going to get me off the Moto X or G2 or some? I don't know.
I've been trying to think about it because after using it for a couple of days, I came to the same thing where I was like, what here is knocking my socks off that really makes it worth me not have, you know, to upgrade from the Nexus 4? Because I was extremely happy with the Nexus 4. And it's really, the thing is that it's cheap enough that you can upgrade every year, and they do an upgrade every year. And a few solid improvements came along with it. You got the screen is dramatically better. The Nexus 4 screen wasn't going to win any awards. So the screen is better. The camera's noticeably better. And just the internals are good enough, are great for 2013 standards. And they're going to last you another couple years if you decide not to take that upgrade the next year. And to have all of that for $350 unlocked, I think it's... The big thing about it is just the value proposition for what it does offer. You know, it's at $350. Can it really knock your socks off every year? I don't know if it can.
And Google's not necessarily aiming for a traditional high spec smartphone. They can't for that price because regardless of how much of that cost they're eating, you still have a certain budget to work within. And maybe this is where the Google Play devices come in as well, because we're talking about the camera and the battery. There are other devices out there probably within a few weeks that you're going to be able to get KitKat on, and I think KitKat is the most important thing about the Nexus 5. You take that off there, it is kind of a generic-looking smartphone. So there are going to be other options to have stock KitKat on a phone very, very shortly, and it's going to be interesting to see how they shape up to the Nexus 5 when they arrive.
What I see from it is I see you can spend $350 You can buy a phone that'll work on any network in the world except one, and it will run any Android app written, period.
Let's talk about that for a second, actually, because especially looking through the forums, so we've got a lot of people asking about the Nexus 5 on Sprint. And I think it's awesome that Sprint is welcoming the Nexus 5, but obviously they've had problems in activating it.
Wait, Sprint had problems?
Yeah, well, and you know, we saw some internal memos that said, hey, you know, stores, here's how you're supposed to do it. But still, it's not anywhere near as easy as just taking your SIM and putting it in there. You know, I brought it home, I put in a T-Mo SIM, works perfect. Swapped in my AT&T SIM, just fine. You know, again, kudos to Sprint for doing it. That's awesome. I'm glad everybody has the choice. Still have a lot of people asking about Verizon. And I guess we can also mention the Nexus 7. I guess Android Police got a quote out of Verizon this week saying that Google asked them to stop certifying the Nexus 7 for their network because they were going to wait and put... Yeah, exactly. Because they were going to wait and put 4.4 on it. And that is such a ridiculous quote. I mean, it's nice they got them to say something, but... My question is, what happened in the past 6 months? What happened to the Nexus 7 was announced, hey, it'll work on Verizon, go for it. And it didn't. Now, I still don't buy the... I don't want to say I don't buy, but this whole thing about how Verizon is supposed to, you know, the bands are supposed to be open or whatever, or unlocked because of the whole Spectrum auction, blah, blah, blah. I don't put any faith in that whatsoever. And at this point, if you want to use any sort of unlocked device... Don't bother trying on Verizon, period. I won't even have that conversation because they don't want it. They don't care about that, right? They refuse to be any sort of a dumb pipe.
Well, and it's not that they don't care about it. They actively don't like them.
Right.
It's not that they're indifferent. They actually do not. They're going to actively try to not support those devices.
If you want to use a Nexus device or any other sort of unlocked device, I mean, everybody in Europe knows what an unlocked device is. It's still pretty foreign here, you know, and just have it work. You cannot do it on a CDMA network. I'm sorry. You just can't. It's not going to be as easy.
Verizon just buys better government officials than everyone else does.
Something. Unless you're in Toronto, you know. So that's my thing on that. It's a nice phone, but there's nothing about it that's making me go, I have to have that. I have to have that. I'm real curious to see what 4.4 does on the Moto X. Very curious.
You and me both, because that's when I'll be able to decide.
Kind of same with me with the HTC One. I would wait and see when 4.4 lands on the Google Play Edition. Because as nice as this is, picking it up, it just doesn't... The feel isn't anywhere near as nice as the HTC One. I think the HTC One probably even now gets slightly better battery life in certain situations.
Really?
So,
oh, yeah. Better than the...
Better than the N5, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
We got to get a Moto X to Alex.
We got the Moto G next week. We're going to get that, so we'll see.
Well, worst comes to worst, when Alex is over for CES, we'll make sure he goes home with one.
Thanks, guys. Yeah,
we've got the Moto G announcement from Brazil.
Yeah, from Brazil and from London. They are actually doing an event in London, so there's that.
Save us a trip to Brazil.
Dude! Yeah,
I'll go to Brazil. I think I'm allowed
there. Adventure. I drag Andy to San Francisco for 3 days, and he's like, I want to go home now. I'm not going to Brazil. Dude.
San Francisco is nice.
You'll go to Brazil and you will wear your Google Glass doing it.
And nothing else.
Sounds like a recipe for getting mugged in Brazil.
You can get away with that in Brazil, I think. Hey, let's do a Q&A question real quick. Which is worse, the Nexus 5 camera or Andrew's webcam?
Whoa. I think that says more about my bandwidth than my webcam. We all have the same webcam as far as I know.
Yeah, I think so. All right, you want to? What else should we talk about? Oh, we need to talk about the speaker thing, by the way. There's yes. A couple good threads in the forums talking about it, as we always get. You know, hey, here's everything wrong with the phone. For once, I want to see somebody do, here's everything right with the phone. My glass is very half full. But there absolutely is something up with the speaker and the audio. I don't think it's so much the speaker itself. I think it's absolutely a software thing, just in our testing. The way I figured it out was I was listening to Peter and the Wolf with my kid, right? And it's, you know, narration on top of music. And Sting just sounds horrible on the Nexus 5. It sounds great. on everything else. So after a lot of experimentation, it's like, well, something's just not right, and Google finally confirmed it, so I'm not crazy. I was starting to get worried about it. My wife noticed it first thing when I asked her to listen to, you know, the same thing on two different phones. So there's something up with that. They say they're working on a fix, so that's good that it's software. Can you believe, did you see people were getting upset thinking we were giving Google a pass on that because we said, hey, it's a good thing it can be fixed?
I think that was misconstrued. I mean, the phones that are already sold, you're never going to be able to fix their hardware.
Right.
They're not going to do a recall for the speaker or something. You know, the speaker does work. So if you're going to have a problem, you want it to be software because there can be an OTA pushed out and that can be fixed. So I think that was misconstrued by a lot of people.
Just tell me when people aren't upset enough.
Yeah, I mean, if we wanted to give Google a pass, we would have not written about it like everybody else.
I think you took them to task. It's a very bad speaker implementation the way it is right now.
Yeah, at least it's just better than it being a bad speaker, so that's good. Mm. What else? I talked a little bit about wireless charging this week. I don't know. You can get it for, what, $500 from Amazon and some of the other carriers. Ooh. Why would you ever pay more than you would from Google Play? I mean, I guess if you just really have to have it right this second.
Amazon can overnight it to you.
Yeah. I was willing to pay $50-$60 more when I thought I would be able to walk to Best Buy last Friday and pick one up on the shelf, off the shelf.
Yeah, I think some places have it. I think Sprint actually has it for $450 and Best Buy does as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only $100 more than
Take out the cost of shipping, you know, you're paying less than $100 more to be able to drive down the street and have one today. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people that live close to a Best Buy that has it in stock, that might be worth it. We're looking at 3 to 4 weeks out of the Play Store right now. Mm-hmm.
If you were going to pay $500 at this point, and let's go around again, but if you were going to pay $500, would you pay $500 for Nexus 5 or for a developer version of the Moto X?
I know my answer.
The Moto X dropped. We should say the Moto X developer edition has dropped to $549 for a 32-gig Moto X.
I'm just saying.
My wife is constantly refreshing today. She's off today to see if Moto Maker comes to T-Mobile. If it does, I'll be buying another one.
It's coming any time now. I mean, we keep seeing all these leaks, but all you have to do is go to motormaker.com and look at the page source. It's all there. Yeah. I put up a couple pictures on Google Plus this morning on the AC account. They have all the wood backs. They have, you know, thumbnails ready to go for all four, which was actually really interesting because when we were back at that briefing and stuff over the summer, they were still testing and they weren't sure how many they were going to do. They said, look, we're going to do at least one. Maybe, you know, maybe two. We'll see. We just don't know yet. They were still testing. So it looks like they're going to do all four, which is kind of awesome. And I'll buy another one. Maybe I'll buy another one and give Alex my my AT&T one. We'll unlock it.
Ooh.
We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, what kind of wood do I get? Do I get teak or ebony or rosewood or what was the other one? Bamboo?
Well,
I don't know.
One of each.
There are 7 days in the week. That's true. No, it'll be cool. That'll be fun. We'll absolutely get one, I think. Somebody has to test this stuff. Might as well be me.
You poor
fella. What other KitKat stuff should we talk about?
Hangouts. So that's kind of KitKat, but kind of not KitKat.
Well, see, there you go. A lot of this is kind of KitKat and not kind of KitKat.
Yeah. And kind of Nexus 5, kind of not Nexus 5.
Yep.
Well, see, that goes back to my what's a Nexus, and as Google has made the latest version of Android less important, and not to say that KitKat's not important, because it absolutely is, but you know they've unattached all these apps, and you know you can get bits and pieces that are really good without necessarily having that latest version.
And in the consumer space, that's very, very, very good.
Right.
You know, they still maintain the open source project. That's cool. Maybe they don't dedicate as much time into it on certain levels as some people would like, but it's still open. Fix it yourself.
So, you know what we should talk about? Let's talk about the launcher real quick, because we've seen a bunch of stories about that, and I think some of them have been misconstrued a little bit, maybe. You know, we've seen stories that the Nexus 5 launcher is exclusive to the Nexus 5. Well, okay. Is the Nexus 4 not going to get it, really? I bet it will. Right? Yep. Probably?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it on custom ROMs. I don't know.
Here's my thing. If it runs on the Nexus 4 well, there's no reason for it not to be on the Nexus 4.
Right.
Google has never stopped something being on an older device just to get you to buy a newer device, mm-hmm. especially not with the Nexus line.
Because Google doesn't care what device you use. That's where Google is different from HTC or Samsung. Google only cares that you're on the internet funneling your personal information into their servers. The good or evil of that is for another discussion, but Google cares that you're using their apps on the internet, not which phone you're using to do it.
What about, there's one other thing. Well, let's go back to Hangouts. So Hangouts version 2.0, we can now receive and send text messages from Hangouts, which some people love, some people hate. Remind me, what happens in KitKat if you install another text messaging app?
What's the process? Go into the settings of Hangouts, mm-hmm. because it's going to be enabled by default to take your SMS. You can turn it off, mm-hmm. and you can go into the settings and select your default text message handling app.
Yeah, the setting actually lives in, there's a shortcut in Hangouts, but it actually lives in the actual settings app. So there's now a setting for you to choose your default SMS app, just like there's now a setting to choose your default launcher app.
Right, and it's so much better that it's in the general settings.
Is my mom going to be able to do it? Is it that simple?
Well, that's the thing, and especially on existing devices where you have your HTC or your Samsung messaging app, suddenly you load up Hangouts for the first time, you have a message that, you know, so suddenly you can handle text messages in a separate app. That you're only one tap away from confirming that and sending all your texts into Hangouts to live forever. In the meantime, you still have a separate messages or messaging app that lives in the app drawer. And if you press that, then your texts are still in there, but that's not your default app. And the notifications still come from Hangouts. So it's going to be really confusing, potentially, for people who buy a new phone and have to deal with this.
The thing is, it's already confusing now. And for existing devices, it's going to be confusing. But the whole idea of 4.4 is that it won't be as confusing going forward. So if you're willing to seek out another messaging client, everything will get transferred over on the system level to Hangouts or to whatever other SMS app that you choose. And that other app, like, it's not pulling in SMS anymore. You're not going to see duplicate messages or any kind of crap like that. So the least you can say is that 4.4 is working on that situation.
I still don't like the fact that just from a naming and a branding perspective, you have a messaging app that isn't called SMS or text or messages or messaging or any of the usual things. It's called Hangouts.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless you're involved
with
the Google ecosystem, that isn't at all obvious.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, my question, though, is why do we assume people are going to get so confused over Hangouts when they weren't confused about iMessage? Just because of the name?
I think because of the name.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's talk about art real quick. And somebody had a question. There it is.
Nathaniel,
what exactly is Android runtime and why is everyone so excited about it? So this is art. If you enable the developer settings, you go to settings and hit the build thing 7 times and whoa, you're a developer now. And there's an option in there to disable the Dalvik runtime and use art. So Jerry, I was going to ask Andrew, but I thought we'd give Jerry a chance.
You're not getting very far with me. So.
Jerry, what is art? Do I need to use it? Is it going to make my phone like benchmark 10,000?
I actually had a conversation with somebody from Mountain View about art a couple days ago. Art is a very good thing. It is the next, it's Dalvik 2.0 is what he called it. He said that's a good way to think of it. It's the logical progression. It's the way they always wanted to go forward. They've poked around at Dalvik here and there since Froyo, but this will be a real complete overhaul. Right now, for us as end users, and if you build apps, you don't count as an end user right now. If you work for HTC or Samsung and make phones, you don't count as an end user either. For us end users, there's really no noticeable difference. He said, you may think you see something, and you may even see some small differences, but most of what you're going to see is placebo or because you've completely rebuilt a cache and it's brand new. And it'll go back to where it was before. The setting is in KitKat because, and NVIDIA was the vendor that was used. Vendors like NVIDIA or, you know, people that make chips, they need to be able to work with this and get their stuff optimized with the new runtime. The runtime that we use now, Dalvik, it does some things as it's happening that Art does ahead of time. That'll save time. That'll save overhead on the system. That will speed your system up because it lets other things happen. It's not that Art is on its own faster than Dalvik. Art is just done and doesn't need to be done on the fly.
The biggest thing I noticed with it, and this is going to be something that kind of, justifies people, the placebo effect that people are seeing. Art does seem to benchmark a hell of a lot higher than Dalvik.
That's very possible.
Hang on, wait, I got him. Ugh. Ugh. All right, slap you through.
Yeah. What I was going to say is it benchmarks a lot higher, but we all know what benchmarks mean in terms of actual performance, right? The difference is much smaller in terms of general day-to-day use.
Let me show you what they mean. You ready? I need a little slap sound.
But it's not a bad thing. You may break stuff if you enable it. He said the biggest thing to look for is, you know, if you've got it enabled and you get an OTA for an app, it may stop working. Some of the apps you like and use now just may not work because developers have gotten a little crafty to try to improve the performance of their own app, and what they've done isn't compatible. But for the most part, it's okay to enable it and look at it if you want. If you don't think you see any big changes, you're probably right, and it's safe to turn it back off. I wish there was more. It's another thing they said is, when you need to know why and how, don't worry, we'll tell you all why and how.
I just thought it was weird, and that makes sense, but I thought it was weird that they put it in there as a user-facing option at this point, even though...
Is it, though? You have to enable developer options to get to it.
If you're buying a Nexus, you're going to enable the developer options, most people, I think.
You got a point, but I think it's great they put it in there because, you know, look at Oppo and the CM team. If that's going to be in KitKat and forward, well, they need to get hold of it. They need to work on it. They need to make sure that they've optimized everything they can, as well as companies like NVIDIA or Texas Instruments or anybody else that makes silicon that's inside the phone.
Maybe not Texas Instruments.
Well, they still make DSPs and stuff.
They
just abandoned everybody with a Galaxy Nexus. Or Galaxy Nexus.
The keyboard has now been...
Neat.
Oh, no, it was unbundled before, wasn't it? But they updated it.
Yeah, they updated it.
It just looks a bit different now.
Yeah.
But I noticed yesterday, even back on a 4.1 device, it looks just like it does on the Nexus 5. That's a good job.
I need to try it. I've only been using the Google keyboard on the Nexus 5, and it's, I don't want to say really good because I still miss having the secondary functions, but it's really, I can type really fast on it.
Mm.
I'm not using the swiping stuff. But
the layout isn't the best, but it is exceptionally quick. You can, not just in terms of swiping, but tap typing as well.
Yeah.
And the nice thing now about it going to this kind of grayscale theme is that when you install it on a Samsung device or an HTC device, it's not going to stand out so blatantly with all the blue and really contrasty colors in it.
I was talking with somebody who has a guess that Google does plan to release the launcher standalone in the market.
Oh, yeah.
And what Andrew just said is exactly why they changed the color to a more neutral gray.
Well, if you watch that video that Retail Maya was doing when KitKat first came out, that's the decision just in general behind that change is that not necessarily for OEMs, but for app developers, so that their apps can look better across all devices, not sort of saddled with Holo Blue and then their own color scheme. It's just the sort of neutral whites and grays and then their color scheme, which they can layer on top of that.
I think it's worth mentioning that just because something hasn't happened in this first week doesn't mean it won't ever.
Yes, it does.
We didn't get it in the first 2 days. It's not going to happen. No.
It's all that will ever be.
Yeah, it's, you know, Google does things at Google's pace, and I have no idea what that, you know, what that pace is, and when they're going to do something, and why they're going to do something when they do it. And, you know,
when we need to show
my Nexus 10 reference in here now. Where's the Nexus 10?
Where's the Nexus 10? We still don't know.
It exists.
We know it exists.
I've seen them with my own eyes, and that's all I can really say about that. But
we haven't actually seen it leak anywhere, have we? It's just everyone's been talking about it.
That's the weird thing, because as much as the 5 leaked before release, we were seeing it back in September.
Different companies.
We know this thing exists. We even know that, you know, it's probably making its way out to certain places. We haven't seen it yet.
When was the last time an LG product didn't leak?
What are you trying to say, Phil?
I'm saying LG is sick.
Good. Thank you, LG.
I love them. I love them, but man, they can't keep their stuff in their wherever they keep their stuff. Just saying. Let's do another Q&A question. This is a good one from Pablo. Do you guys think we will ever get a full cloud backup feature in KitKat that was rumored before it was before release?
No.
Does he mean like a full like image backup of your phone?
Like an iCloud backup type thing, I think he's talking about.
I would still like to see something better happen with app data.
Well, yeah. It's there. They can
it's there for developers to do it. Nobody does it.
That's the problem.
Since they already released that, I can't see them going back and releasing a full data partition backup service.
I thought that Google Play Games was supposed to do that in some respects. So why can't I play like Asphalt on more than one phone without it freaking out? Well, it tries to sync something.
The
developer has to set it up right, and they even doubled the amount of storage the developers have to work with and everything. And all the tools are there, and you just have to do them.
It's down to the implementation. Asphalt, you kind of can, but every time you do it on a different device, you have to bring down and resync and replace one profile with the other, and it's just not a great experience at all.
I haven't gotten it to work at all.
If you're a game developer, go buy Riptide GP2, get out two devices, install it on both, play on one for an hour, pick up the second one, start it up. That's how you need to do it.
That works, huh?
It just asks you, do you want to use your cloud data or your local data? You make a choice, and off you go. And it does
kind of what Asphalt does, but in a really janky way.
But it's
to be done there, I think.
It can be done, and that's something that, man, if that's in your game, we're going to look harder at it. I'll tell you that, the four of us, we get tons of email about, please look at our game, please look at our game. If your game can do that, we're going to look harder, and the users are going to look harder. So do it.
Seth asks, speaking of tablets, have you guys heard anything more about the supposed Nexus 8? Here's all I have to say about the supposed Nexus 8.
I thought you were going to slap at Alex again.
I know I could. There was some like video where somebody saw something that might have looked like some sort of tablet we might not have seen before. Stop it.
Did you see it? Turns out that was just a bad Photoshop.
How about that? Imagine that in a promo video. Can't ever see that happening. I mean, I guess I would welcome a Nexus 8, but the question is why? Samsung eyes. Mm-hmm. I just made that up. You know, the Nexus line and make one in every size. There's no reason to do that.
Yeah, they don't need to. They really don't need to. Between the 7 and the 10, you could argue maybe they need another phone, but a tablet, I don't think so.
Yeah. So what kind of non-KitKat Nexus stuff you guys want to talk about? YouTube comments are going Google Plus-ish to varying degrees of success.
That's step one.
See the story today, one of the original co-founders of YouTube, he's like, why the F do I have to have a Google Plus profile to leave a comment? I still think everything is going Google Plus at some point.
But you don't have to have a Google Plus profile. Go watch Vimeo. Shut up. Go away. YouTube is a cesspool. Anything they can do to clean YouTube
up. It really can't get any worse.
It's probably 50-50, but it's at least as much to do with cleaning that up as it is Google trying to push people onto Google Plus, which, let's be honest, they're doing that as well.
Yeah. Sure. And they should.
Yeah.
I think. Speaking of Google Plus, and this is kind of a big one, we said your Google Plus profile picture will soon be paired with your mobile number. I guess a little beyond soon, right? They're going to roll this out in 2014, but that's not that far away. Yeah,
early 2014, which is a month and a half from now, it can be happening. So
the idea, let me see if I get this right. Say Andrew's not in my contacts, but if Andrew were to call me, well, I know, right? But if Andrew were to call me, I would see his face and name on my screen. Google knows it's him. Google's going to tell me it's him, even though he's not in my contacts. My phone doesn't know it's him.
So does it work the other way around? So you call Andrew's number, you don't necessarily have any other information on him except the number. Do you then get his full name and his picture?
That's the implication.
A little bit scary.
The implication is that once Google has verified a phone number, which to me it looks like if you've plugged it into your Google Plus account or if you've used it as a verified number in Hangouts, which I had like 15 numbers verified in there when I checked the settings, it'll just look at your, and if you have a public Google Plus profile, it'll take your picture and pair it up with the number, and any time that you make a call or somebody calls you, they see your profile picture.
Hmm. Good. So there's that. I mean, the other side of that is if someone has this one piece of information on you, a phone number, it presumably would be quite easy to automate something where if you have a list of phone numbers, you could then just throw it at Google and get a bunch of names and pictures out of it.
Well, but in order to have them linked, you have a public Google Plus profile with your name and your picture on it.
Does the number have to be public as well?
No, it just has to be verified.
You can uncheck all this and tell them not to do that.
We should say it's checked by default, at least it was when we went and looked in the settings. Right now it's used for people to find your name and link it up by starting a Hangout by your phone number. But the phone number doesn't have to be public, but if you have a public Google Plus profile picture, it's going to use that picture. We're not sure what... Like, so if Phil did have me in his contacts, because he's a nice guy, and he had a picture for me, it's unclear whether or not it would show that picture or always show the caller's picture when, whatever picture they choose, because that's kind of an interesting thing where you can take your own responsibility for what picture shows up when you call people.
Why does this have such a creep factor to it? I mean, out of all the information Google has on us, why does our phone number seem more personal than our address?
A phone number is just a very small number of digits. And if there's something where potentially you can punch those numbers in and see who owns that number and get their face and their name, not necessarily with their implied consent because they left the box checked, then that's... Yeah, that there is kind of a creep factor to that.
But that's the yellow pages.
I remember the white pages.
Or white pages, rather.
I mean,
doesn't have your picture in it.
Doesn't have a picture that I publicly elected to put on the internet for other people to see.
You can take their name and search Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, or just go to Google and type somebody's name in. You can find a picture if they've ever posted one publicly. I mean, it's such a... I don't know, people just have a false sense of privacy when they put everything out in public and they think that it's not seen by everybody. At least with this, you have control over what picture people see.
When this rolls out, it needs to be done with a very nicely laid out FAQ with a big fat link where you can go press a little button that says, I don't want this. Yeah. Do it that way and I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I think maybe the biggest problem is having it checked by default. And not having an actual choice there for the user.
But I'm not going to judge a 2014 project on what's happening right now.
Yeah, like I said, the setting that exists now is for finding people via their phone number for Hangouts, and the settings and the tooltips all say as such. They're not updated right to indicate this new system yet, and we have more changes to Google Voice coming in early 2014 as well. We don't know how that's going to factor in either. We don't know what Hangouts is going to look like, what the dialer is going to look like. We really don't know much of anything other than that it might happen.
By the way, we haven't talked about this, but the dialer change in KitKat is pretty significant, I think. And it's kind of a tough one for us to show, because obviously we don't want to show phone numbers and stuff. But, I mean,
Telling me that you make phone calls.
I do. No, look, I can show this right here. I mean, you're not going to see anything, right? But it's making the people more important than the numbers. And that's really interesting to me. And in fact, I'm not crazy about the new little dialer icon itself within the app. You know, you got to tap it to pull up any phone numbers. But yeah, it makes the important people appear, and instead there's no, like,
they want it based on search. You start typing a name or a business and it'll just give you a number and you can
edit and you'll call. And there's no big list. All contacts, you have to go to the overflow menu and then get to all contacts that way.
That works in well with, I think, what they're doing with Hangouts.
Mm, yeah.
Because Hangouts makes, you know, it's there, but at first look, there's no differentiation between how you're communicating. Is this person online? Is this person going to talk back or whatever? It's just, oh, I know this guy. Let me get in touch with him.
And, I mean, that's a continuation of what they've been doing with Google Voice for years.
Yes.
It's one number with associated to a name, and it'll ring whatever that person tells it to ring. Now, that was clunky, and this is a little more fluid, but it makes a lot of sense. You know, there's more than one way to get a hold of somebody. It doesn't have to be one phone number.
This is kind of what we've been asking for, right? And now we're all like, hey, I don't know. No.
Heaven forbid that they have to have your personal information to be able to contact you personally.
Right. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah.
What else? Google Glass got updated. Cool. What about this Verizon tablet, the Ellipsis 7, that they're selling for $250?
Jerry, tell me what you think about this Ellipsis.
I think that Ellipsis 7 is probably just the correct size to go into the Verizon board of directors and smack people with.
Why?
They released that because they have no intentions of releasing the Nexus 7, and they can say, oh, you want a 7-inch Google Android tablet? Well, we have this, our own in-house brand. We suck. And everybody, if your ETF is less than $50, run, leave, shut them down. Do not expect Verizon to play by the rules anymore. Do not expect them to give a damn about you. Do not expect anything. Stop playing games. Vote with your wallet. Tell them to shove it and go to AT&T, which is just as evil, but they don't screw you in the front like this.
I had a boss for many years at the newspaper. Whenever somebody would say something funny that they probably shouldn't have said, he'd shake his head at him. Just like,
I imagine your neck hurts then. But you asked me what I thought.
Hey,
somebody asked me.
What did I say earlier, right? If you want to use some sort of unlocked or Nexus-y device, don't do it. Don't even attempt to do it on a CDMA carrier.
I mean,
period.
It's just not. It's not surprising. I mean, we've seen other. T-Mobile has had unbranded tablets. AT&T has had unbranded tablets. But this one's just curiously timed with this Nexus 7 news to where somebody can call in or come in and say, oh, you know, I've heard I can bring a Nexus 7. And they say, oh, well, we have this great 7-inch tablet here, and it's $30 cheaper to boot. And, you know, it'll cost you $10 to put it on your mobile share plan.
Is it cheaper, though? Well, it was the same price.
Is it $250? Oh, there you go. Of course, it's $250. I thought it was $200. But
they're not going to make it any cheaper because they'll screw you every single chance they can.
Oh, yeah, it is $250. Well, there you go. They'll still try to sell you on it.
I rant and I get carried on, but you got to remember, for most people out there, this Ellipsis tablet is fine. But if you're listening to this podcast and you read Android Central and you care enough about, you know, the mobile industry that you're on the internet worrying about it, then this is not for you. It's like Phil said, Verizon is just not for a certain subset of people.
Yeah. Well, and especially considering that the Nexus 7, AT&T and T-Mobile both have great tablet offer, tablet data offerings where you can add it to your plan or get free data, or, you know, a small bucket, or, you know, weekly plans and everything. It's like, really, is there that much draw on you to putting your Nexus 7 on Verizon that you can't just put it on somebody else?
Yeah. All right, I want to switch gears. Q&A question. Another Q&A question from Matthew. Today I learned the Chromecast doesn't support live video from YouTube while trying to watch the podcast. Do you think this is a limitation done purposely or probable future update? I would love to see him turn that on.
It works from Chrome.
It works from Chrome, yeah.
So.
It works if you stream the whole tab. Right.
Right. It works in tabs. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, tab streaming works for pretty much everything.
You can't shoot YouTube directly over. Yeah, it sucks. Watching all like the music festivals that I like to watch, you can't do that. I have a feeling that's in the licensing agreements with all this, and I get that. Lawyers are a pain. And I get that Google has to, deal with them. But yeah, I would love to see them turn that on. It's surprising that you can't use it for something like this podcast. But at the same time, Google doesn't know what we're going to do here. So if we started playing a whole bunch of copyrighted music, then, that starts breaking things. So I get it. It sucks, but I get it.
And what would prevent the guy who runs the local bar I go to from putting in a couple 72-inch TVs and, charging you $5 to come see Coachella or whatever.
Exactly. And sucks, but not very open, is it?
Nope.
Hey, you know what I think I noticed this week? And maybe it was there before and I just never noticed. But when you first have, I don't have Chromecast actually plugged in. And we need to get around to fixing that. And I'm using the HTC Media Link 2 for this. We started working on a way to do that
real quick.
We just never finished it. But no, down on the, I'm pointing at my TV on my monitor, that won't work. Down in the lower right, it says Chromecast.com/apps, and I don't think that was there before.
And why is it there now? There's six apps, and four of them are made by Google.
Doesn't that mean they're going to add more, maybe?
That means the SDK's got to get final soon.
Yeah, something. I don't know.
Because you would just... Well, real quick, I'm curious to see what the big companies can do with the Chromecast SDK.
Right.
But I'm real curious to see what the little guys can do with the Chromecast SDK.
Are allowed to do.
Right.
Well, I mean, you want to see, ESPN, NBC, and ABC, and all these guys just give me a better experience than tab casting. Streaming on the computer and sending it over. That some of them would love to do it.
I still got a Chromecast to give away.
Oh, do you?
Yep.
We'll do it.
To anyone in the UK.
All right, we'll do it next week. That'll be a good thing to do next week. Let's do a couple of emails we got, and then we'll get out of here. What do you say?
Okay.
Let's do that.
Stever1980 writes, "Hey, guys, my upgrade is in January, and I'm going from the Note 2 to the Note 3. Is the Galaxy Gear worth getting, or should I wait?" If you can get it cheap,
wait,
and or free.
Yeah, one of the UK retailers is doing it for free when you buy Note 3, so you can't really argue with that.
So then you have no option but not to get one.
If you use the stock apps for mail and messaging, then it does quite a bit more than what I get out of it.
You'd still want to get it for cheaper than $2.99.
Right. Yeah. There's either going to be a big update to the software or there's going to be a fire sale. Wait for whichever one happens.
And then, save a few bucks. If you're coming from the Note 2, you're already sold on the Note 3, then I can see that's the kind of person that could enjoy the gear, but it's still not worth it at the price. So like Jerry said, wait for something to happen where you can get it for a better deal.
Mm-hmm. It's nice, man. I love and hate that thing at the same time. But I would hold off and see what happens.
Yeah. All right, who wants the next one?
Tony writes, "Have you tested the camera sound recording on the Nexus 5? Sound recording on the Nexus 4 is really bad. When I record something louder, it distorts, and it's really annoying. Is it the same case for the Nexus 5?
I've recorded a couple of short videos, and the mic sounds just fine to me.
Yeah, sounds okay. You're not going to get the the HDR stuff that you get with the HTC One, but it's not terrible. I didn't notice how bad it was, put it that way.
Well, I played with a little this afternoon after I saw this email, and it's about what you would expect. I mean, it's clear and it's loud enough, and there's no weird distortion in the background, but it's not great audio quality or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark writes, are the phones and battery capacities getting so varied that we need to worry about what chargers we use at the risk of ruining our batteries? Do we need to keep our promiscuity in check when it comes to being careful about what charging cords we plug into our phones? Holes. What do you think, Jerry?
You left out the word holes.
Oh, phones is holes.
Hey, man, well, I had to read that twice earlier.
I am glad that Mark asked
charging ports.
Because this is one of those ones that has a lot of confusion behind it. If you take any charger or any cable that is UL listed or in Europe CE mark, it'll work. There is circuitry inside your phone and inside the part that plugs into the wall that's designed so it won't send enough to your phone to burn anything. Now, you know, accidents can happen. Moisture or whatever could screw these circuits up. But we're now to the point where, you know, the USB standard and manufacturers have a certain way they're supposed to make things. As long as they've been approved by a body that approves things, Underwriters Laboratories or the European Union, you're fine. Except for the Note 3. The Note 3 is USB 3. USB 2 will charge it. Any plug will charge it, but you get so much better results with what came in the box. Use that.
That's more about the charger than it is the cable, though, isn't it?
I think so. And what may be in the phone to communicate, you know, know that it's hooked up.
Yeah. The other thing with the Note is it has, because it's a Snapdragon 800 device, it has the Qualcomm Quick Charge 2 stuff, doesn't it? Because all Snapdragon 800s have that.
Yep.
So it's just a case of getting better results with what shipped with your phone most of the time, as opposed to, you know, worrying about what has the highest amperage.
You have some devices need the high amperage to charge. So if you lost the charger that came with your original Nexus 10 or the Asus Transformer, or a couple of phones have been the same way, you'll want to pick up the BlackBerry charger from any of the Mona sites because it's cheap, it's 2.1 amps, and it will charge anything that's USB.
Cool. I think that's going to do it, especially because the fire alarm is going off in Andrew's apartment. Andrew, what's it sound like? Let's hear it. Are you going to die? Is it okay?
I don't know. It's the hallway. It's somebody else is burning their apartment down, not me. Oh, okay. So.
Turn glass on, get on the Hangout, and go look.
All right. Well, if you want to email us in between fire alarms, you can do so at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on a Google Plus, where apparently you might be able to find our phone numbers or our faces or something. I don't remember. We live there. Our lives are open books. Just search our names. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can call 888-468-6158 or go to that website thing at shopandroid.com. I know they're starting to get a little bit of Nexus 5 stuff in there. Speaking of the Note 3 and USB 3, I know they just got those cables in. If you really want one of those cables, you can get one there. I'd appreciate it. My kids would appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's it, I think. We'll try not to do any more podcasts for a week, but if we have to, we will. You can't stop us. So thank you for listening live, watching live. Thank you guys for hanging in there with the recorded version later. It's also very cool. Jerry, Andrew, Alex, thank you guys.
Phil, thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Silent, Andrew.
Andrew, that was your cue to go,
That's the new title of the podcast. It's going to be, How do you spell that? Don't even try. All right, that's it. We're out of here. See you all next week.
See you later.